Praise the Lord. So good to see y'all out in the house of the Lord this morning. Brother Rob, good to see you this morning. You look great. I like your little beard and your mustache and your smile. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hope you were blessed during praise and worship. God is an endless ocean, isn't he? He's forever with us, always. Father, I just thank you this morning, and I just want you to do something special for your people who came out to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. Father God, you said it was miracle time. And whatever miracle they need, Father, I'm asking you to drop it upon them right now. Bless them abundantly, Father. Bless them going out and coming in. Bless everything that your hands touch. And Father, change and rearrange anything that's not of you, God. We give you full permission to change us into the image of your Son, Jesus. And Father, I truly do thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Father God, that you love us abundantly and that you're always there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're wondering why I have the bullet in front the way it is. It's because I always put the bullet in front according to what the message is. And God's talking about the lost and forsaken this morning and what our job is. I want you to be expecting to receive miracles from God. I don't care what it is you need from God. God wants to give you your miracle now. Not next year, not next month, but right now. He wants you to give you your miracle. So I'm just asking you to please be expecting. Get your expector out there and just expect God to move mightily. And, you know, if you really believe those songs that you sang, when adversity comes your way, you're not going to get upset. When things don't turn out the way you think they should, you're not going to get upset. We have to understand, and just like Sister Elaine said, God has given us all power and all authority. So therefore, the enemy doesn't have any. And the only power and authority he has is what you give him. And when something doesn't turn out the way you want it to or expect it to, then you get all in a twit, you know, and you carry on, you bawl and squall. You're saying that the enemy has more power and authority than God has. So, you know, when the enemy comes your way, just kick him in the teeth and say, go on. I'm not going to entertain you now or ever. My days of entertaining you is over. You have no power and no authority. All right? So let's get to the teaching this morning. God called it the lost and forsaken realm. In Isaiah 43, verse 1 says, Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid. I will save you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. Now listen to what you're reading. And when you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy God of Israel, who saves you. I will give up Egypt to set you free. I will give up Ethiopia and Seba. I will give up whole nations to save your life. Why? Because you are precious to me, and because I love you and give you honor. And he says again, do not be afraid. I am with you from the distant east and the furthest west. I will bring your people home. I will tell the north to let them go and the south not to hold them back. Let my people return from distant lands, from every part of the world. They are my own people, and I created them to bring me glory. And I hope you go home and you reread that and get that embedded into your spirit, because God is for you and he's not against you. And what he has spoken over your life, he's surely going to bring to pass. God says, you, and I want you to really listen to what you're reading here. You are now entering into the realm of the lost and forsaken. And in this new realm, you will need all the wisdom and understanding that you can hold. Now, he's talking about the world out there. This is a realm that will require precise timing in all that you do. This harvest of souls is unlike any other that has been harvested. Let's read that again. You are now entering into the realm of the lost and forsaken. And in this new realm, you will need all the wisdom and understanding that you can hold. This is a realm that will require precise timing in all that you do. This harvest of souls is unlike any other that has been harvested. If you will climb up on my lap, I will give you all power and authority. Was he going to give you all power and authority in such a way that your very presence will cause all demonic addiction spirits to flee? I promise you that I will download all of myself into you as you go forth to bring in the harvest. What do you have to do? You have to get close to God for this to happen. These are the soldiers that Joel speaks about, and they surely will destroy the darkness, and they surely will bring down the walls that separate and divide God's people from all of their blessings. This group of soldiers are ready for battle, and they will carry this readiness with them no matter where they go. Who's this group of soldiers? It's the lost and the forsaken that you're going to be going to minister to. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1 says, blow the trumpet on Zion, shout a warning on my holy mountain. Let all the people who live in the land shake with fear. The Lord's special day is coming. It is near. It will be a dark, gloomy day. It will be a dark and cloudy day. At sunrise, you will see the army spread over the mountains. It will be a great and powerful army. There has never been anything like it before, and there will never be anything like it again. The army will destroy the land like a burning fire. In front of them, the land will be like the Garden of Eden. Behind them, the land will be like an empty desert. Nothing will escape them. They look like horses. They run like war horses. Now, God says, you know, that's the mighty army that God is raising up. They're not going to be like the church is today, a bunch of wimps. When God brings in the world into the house of God and gets them cleaned up, they already know what it is to fight the enemy. They already know what it is to live out there and all that degradation, and they're sick and tired of it, and they're going to be warriors. God says about these lost and forsaken, their souls are mutilated, and the pain racks every fiber of their beings. They are tired and so weary of all the promises that my church and society has spoken to them, and they are not ones that trust quickly. So you have to win their trust. Children never ever abuse. God says children never ever abuse one of these already broken ones. Always remember from whence you came and never ever judge these broken ones. You don't know why they are where they are. You do not know the deepness of the hurt and mutilation. You will never ever understand from whence they come, not even if I tell you. You will never understand their pain of rejection unless you too have been rejected from society. You will need to learn to love the unlovable before you will ever reach the generation, this generation of broken people. I want to go through and read that again because you're going to have the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes, you know, all kind of perversion out there. And this is what's going to be in this people that we're going to minister to. Let's see what God says again here. Children never ever abuse one of these already broken ones. Remember, we're a hospital. Always remember from whence you came and never ever judge these broken ones. You don't know why they are where they are. You do not know the deepness of the hurt and mutilation. You will never ever understand from whence they come, not even if I tell you, because you know you really don't know the deep, deep hurt that some people live day in and day out. You will never understand their pain of rejection unless you too have been rejected from society. You will need to learn to love the unlovable before you will ever reach this generation of broken people. God said, you see, this is a special broken peoples that have bonded together, and they are there for each other. They love and protect each other no matter what it costs them. That is why they will cling to the cross. They do not have any hidden agendas. They are just trying to survive another day. And isn't it what the street people do? They bond together, and they fight for one another. And then verse 5 says, did I get ahead of myself here somehow, brother? 2, 3. Okay, verse 5 in Joel, I'm sorry, I had my pages mixed up. Listen to them. It is like the noise of a chariot riding over the mountains. It is like the noise of flames burning the shaft. They are a powerful people who are ready for war. Before them, earth and sky shake, the sun and the moon become dark, and the stars stop shining. The Lord calls loudly to his army. His camp is very large. The army obeys his commands. His army is very powerful. The Lord's special day is a great and terrible day. No one can stop it. These people that God is sending into the house of God, from the streets, under the bridges, wherever they come from, they are going to be a bunch of wounded people. And they are going to need to know the love of Christ from the get-go. And they are going to need to understand that you love them no matter what they do or what they say. You still love them because you know they're going to have to get cleaned up. They're not going to come in already cleaned up. They're going to have to get cleaned up. Then God says, one day you will be here and the next day there. For I will call you forth to minister wherever the lost and dying are abiding. My word tells you to be instant in season. And 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So what did he say? One day you will be here, the next day there. For I will call you forth to minister wherever the lost and dying are abiding. My word tells you to be instant in season. So if you're on the street and you're ministering in Wilmington, God might tell you when you drive clear to Wilmington, I want you to go to, let's say, to the beach. Because God knows where, you know, where the people are that need to be ministered to. So you don't make the plans. You allow God to make the plans and be open to do whatever he tells you to do. Then God says, be diligent in all I call you forth to do. Be on guard and listen for my still small voice. For I will be speaking quietly to my chosen ones, and I will be giving divine directions that you must follow to the last dot. Read that again. Be diligent in all I call you forth to do, God says. Be on guard and listen for my still small voice. You're going to have to get off your little earplugs. You know, you can't hear God's voice if you got earplugs on, listen to the music of the world or the church or whatever. Your ears are going to have to be in tune to God's voice. He says, for I will be speaking quietly to my chosen ones, and I will be giving divine directions that you must follow to the last dot. God said, there will be no room for mistakes at this given time. For this harvest must be brought in at this given time, and this harvest must know of the love of Jesus in a special way. These people want the truth. They do not have itching ears. Their spirit man is ready to receive my word if it is given through the Spirit. Flesh can have no part in this harvest of souls. So if you think you're going to go out there and win souls still being in the flesh, it's not going to work. You have to be totally spirit-filled from inside out, constantly hearing the voice of the Father. He will lead, guide, and direct you. I promise you he will. If you would just yield to him, be a love vessel that he can work through, and have an intimate relationship with him, he will speak to you. Children, God said, children, work on your love walk. Children, work on your love walk continually until all you are is a vessel of pure agape love that will be able to minister to all you meet through the love of Christ. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take love to undo what Satan has done to these people. Some of you are already working with people that's been mutilated and by the enemy. And they don't trust you unless you show them love. They're not really going to trust you. And no matter what they do, no matter what vow thing they may do, you still have to let them know that you love them. And love is what's going to bring them through. Pure love. I remember one time I read where this couple took in this little girl, and she was in a foster home and abused, and she was really unmanageable. And she did horrible things, broke things, did all kind of things in home. But the people never, ever once raised their voice at her. They never once spanked her. They just loved her. They went through a year of this. And then all of a sudden, one day, she just changed. And she became the perfect little girl. And from that day forward, she was never the old girl. See, she'd been abused enough. And you had to earn her trust. And when she saw that they were going to love her no matter what she did, they said she would really do things to really try their patience. But they still loved her and never raised her voice. They won her over. And she's a mighty child of God right now today. I wish we could say we do that. God says you cannot minister condemnation. You cannot minister half-truths. You cannot minister out of the flesh. For these people are keen to the falsehoods of the world, and they will walk away if you try to fleece them with half-truths. Some of those in this harvest field have never heard of Jesus, heaven or hell, and they will be totally blown away as you speak to them. But if you minister in the Spirit will draw them into all truth. God says, never be blown away with what you see as you go forth to bring in the harvest. Always remember that these are damaged souls that are working out of total pain. Never be blown away with what you see as you go forth to bring in the harvest. Always remember that these are damaged souls that are working out of total pain. God said, you will see things you never thought possible. But did I not minister to the lepers in my word? Did I not go into the highways and byways and set the peoples free from all demonic depression? Did I not go into the different countries and heal all who were brought to me? Did I not raise the dead? Then you must go forth and do the very same things that I did in my word. There's not enough love in the body of Christ. There's not enough love in families. There's not enough patience or wisdom in families. And this is why you're not seeing lives changed. This is why you're not seeing God manifested in your homes. Because it's all about me. What about me? Look what you did to me. You know, me. And it should be all about God. You know, one thing you should do is you should just thank God every day that you're not walking in that person's shoes. You ought to just thank God every day that He's sent His grace and mercy to you. And He brought you out of the miry clay. And He's kept you all the days of your life. It's all about love, forgiveness, and grace. God said, remember, this is all about souls being brought into the kingdom of light. Therefore, you must bring them out of the darkness. How bright is your light, really? How bright is your light, really? Ask yourself that question. Is my light so bright that no matter what I have to encounter, it will dispel all darkness? Or am I too busy thinking about what's happening to me? Jesus didn't think that, did He? Even when He went to the cross, you were on His mind. You were in His heart. And He gave up His life for you. A true child of God will give up their life for the lost and the dying. They really will. And by that I mean it won't be no longer, what am I going to get out of this? It's God, here's a soul. I need you to take this soul. Pour love into them. And bring them out of the mess and the darkness that they're in. God said some of these will be walking in fear, and you must have the anointing to dispel all fear. You must have the anointing that destroys every yoke. You must be walking in total holiness and righteousness. You must know my Son in a very personal way. You must always abide in the third heavens and understand all kingdom wisdom from this day forth. I want to read this again because, see, this is very important. Some of these souls will be walking in fear, and you must have the anointing to dispel all fear. You must have the anointing that destroys every yoke. Do you have that anointing? Ask yourself these questions. You must be walking in total holiness and righteousness. You must know my Son in a very personal way. You must always abide in the third heavens and understand all kingdom wisdom from this day forth. Very serious, very solemn, what God is telling us here today. God said, my kingdom is full of light, wisdom, and all power and authority. And that is exactly what I desire to constantly pour into you. I desire you walk in the fullness of my glory. It is going to require my glory abiding within every second of every day. All right, it is going to require my glory abiding within, and that means within you. Every second of every day. You can be washed white as snow from inside out and be a glory carrier for this end time harvest. It is all about obedience. You must be listening to my still small voice, and you must be obedient to everything I ask you to do. Forsake the cares of this world and come up hither, and be filled with heavenly wisdom and take back to the lost and the dying. What is God saying to us? Forsake the cares of this world and come up hither and be filled with heavenly wisdom to take back to the lost and dying. See, your wisdom stinks. It's not going to do anything for the lost and dying. But if we have heavenly wisdom, then the people will be changed. God said, fortitude. You will need fortitude in this hour for the great works that I have set before you. There is nothing I will withhold from you as you walk in the stillness of my glory and allow me to flow freely through your entire being from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Read that again. Fortitude. You will need fortitude in this hour for the great works that I have set before you. There is nothing I will withhold from you as you walk in the stillness of my glory and allow me to flow freely through your entire being from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. God says right there that he wants to fill us so full of his glory that nothing can stand in our way. Because his glory is what destroys the work of the enemy. And I looked up the word fortitude. It means strength of mind that enables one to endure adversity with courage. Fortitude is strength of mind that enables one to endure adversity with courage. God said, always remember, I am your abiding place. And as you abide within my heavenly realm, perfect peace will go with you. Always remember, I am your abiding place. And as you abide within my heavenly realm, perfect peace will go with you, even into the deepest valleys of despair that you will be going into to save the lost. My angelic army is always by your side to keep you safe and fight the enemies of the souls you are ministering to. Never get overwhelmed when ministering. Always remember that since I called you to this harvest, this is my battle, and I will fight for you. Let's read that again. I want you to get this in your spirit. God said, my angelic army is always, always by your side to keep you safe and fight the enemies of the souls you are ministering to. His angelic army is going to fight these enemies that are in the souls of the people that you're ministering to. God says, never get overwhelmed when ministering. Always remember that since I called you to this harvest, this is my battle and I will fight for you. God said, never-ending freedom awaits all those who you reach in the harvest of souls. And I said, God, what are you saying here? And he said, once they're set free, and listen to this, guys, they will never go back into bondage ever again. Isn't that awesome? It's not going to be like the church is now, where the church keeps going back into bondage. But whenever you minister to these people and they are set free, they will always remain free. Because these are the soldiers that God is going to use for this end time battle that we're in. Isn't that awesome? Come on. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I'm reading that scripture everywhere anymore. God gave us that scripture a couple years ago and said that was our scripture. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And when God gave us that, he said the glory's already here. It's just not in my fullness yet, but it will come in its fullness. All right? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness of people, but the Lord will rise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. In other words, the lost are going to come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be nursed at your side. And God's saying, your light is going to draw the darkness to you, you know, the lost souls to you, and they're going to be set free. I just wish that you'd just grab a hold of this morning. The body of Christ really is not ready to minister to that world. They are not. Because you still are not walking in holiness and righteousness. you're still not walking with agape love. And whenever God does send you somebody that's messed up, you mess them up ever even more, because after all, they're not doing what you thought they should be doing. We have to get out of this mindset. I'm dealing with a soul right now that everybody's turned against this person, and God said, it's going to be my love. I have to continue to love this person, continue to love them. No matter what they're doing to me, I have to, and I do. And it's not what they're doing to me. It doesn't bother me. It's I'm watching them be so torn apart by the enemy. They're so lost. And they don't know how to be set free, even though they know they don't. And it's love, pure love, that's going to bring that person through. God said, are you truly ready for the rush that is coming into my houses of refuge? And God had me put the sign up, House of Refuge, years ago, and I didn't want it, man. I said, just put it up. God said to do it. Are you truly ready for to forsake all and spend all of your time ministering to the lost and dying? Don't say yes, because you don't. You still think you have to have your time. After all, you know, I need my own time. So God said, are you truly ready to forsake all and spend all of your time ministering to the lost and dying? Did you ever stop and think how many hours somebody spent ministering to you when you were messed up? How they gave up some time, you know, and just talked to you, or, you know, invited you over to their house and just poured love into you. People did that to you. Yes, they did. If they didn't, then just thank God that he did. God said, are you truly ready to have all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob poured out upon you? Are you truly ready to have me meet every one of your needs as you are about my business of harvesting the lost and the dying? You know, if you would just quit worrying about your needs and you would just work for God and do what God's calling you for, dude, God is going to meet your needs. He is. I had a need, but it was met. I had a big need, but it was met. And I cried out to God last night. I said, God, you know, I have this need. Please meet my need. And he did. I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll just give up your all, if you'll just forget about you, and if you just go about the Father's business in love, God will take care of you. He will meet your needs. Are you really understanding this? God said, at this given time, I am ready to fulfill all of what I have been speaking of. Now, he's talking about you, because he said, are you truly ready to have all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob poured out upon you? Are you truly ready to have me meet every one of your needs as you are about my business of harvesting the lost and dying? Now, he says, God says, at this given time, I am ready to fulfill all of what I have been speaking of. I want you to take a few minutes and think about what you want me to fulfill in your life at this given time. Just take a minute. Stop and think of what you want God to fulfill at this given time in your life. I don't want you to be one of these people that God keeps blessing and blessing and you just keep fussing because he hasn't blessed as far as you think he should bless. You're going to have to appreciate what God, the little things God does before he goes any further. Now, you were supposed to be thinking about what you want God to fulfill in your life at this given time. If you've already thought about what it is, I want you to come up to the altar.